WFAN.com.
Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
Weekly industry news, reviews, what's great, what's garbage, everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Welcome to a special 90-minute edition of Video Games Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, and my co-host, as always, Reiner from Game Informer and GameInformer.com.
We said we needed 2 hours. We're inching closer.
We are.
Halfway there.
This happens about once a year where, for whatever reason, we get asked to work the 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and I'd say bring it on.
I love it.
Oh, I absolutely love it. It's fantastic news. Joe, do we have giveaways today? We should, because
we didn't
give away the previous show's giveaways.
No. We have one copy of Sony's MLB The Show 19 for PS4.
Excellent game.
And then we have a special edition Hitman Poke Striker Pro gaming headset that's compatible with the PS4, Xbox One, and the PC.
Excellent. We've got those headsets. I use them all the time. They're terrific.
What would you rank the Twins now in MLB The Show? 91, 92?
Yeah.
They have to be like one of the top teams, right?
You've got literally three Cy Young candidates in the rotation right now, and the best hitting team, mostly number one, a couple of number two rankings in with the Astros for basically every meaningful hitting stat.
Yeah, like seven of those players should be all-stars.
Absolutely. It's well, you know what? I think they're going to name three different Cy Young winners. It's going to be so tightly contested between the three Twins aces that they will just award three.
A three-way tie.
Three Cy Young Award winners. That's how I believe it will go down. There's a lot to get to today on Video Games Weekly. Well, I want to talk about Rage 2, which came out recently. Also, a bigger release on the PlayStation called Dreams. But I also want to talk about two indie titles that have fascinated me, Reiner.
Okay.
And that is Observation and Void Bastards.
Can you say that?
I think we can say that. I'm going to go yes. You can say a lot worse than that. Let's be honest. Things have changed.
Don't tell me
in
that.
In the old days, you couldn't do that. Now you can. A number of other things, including we'll get to some E3 talk, only 2 weeks away from E3 as well. And we also have some new news across a wide variety of areas, including Dan Burrow is just talking about how the World Health Organization has made workplace burnout as a recognized behavioral disease. Video game addiction. Now, the World Health Organization says that is a now recognized behavioral.
Well,
behavioral?
I play so many video games that I burn out on them, and that's my job, so...
You get both! You're double dipping!
Do I get twice as much? Or?
I think you should. I want to go on disability for my video game addiction. Have the taxpayers pay me to sit at home while I'm on disability playing video games.
It seems fair. They're really long.
They are long.
They take away
and there's
your
so
life.
Many, Reiner. Yeah. Let's start with Rage 2, the biggest release of the past couple of weeks. This was it's been in the works for probably 3 years since Rage 1. This is a Bethesda published game, and Rage 1 didn't really hit the mark. It looked really promising. Shooter again. Well, set the stage on what is the Rage series now, and we'll rewind back to Rage 1 a little bit.
Post-apocalyptic in the same vein as Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
The world is basically a desert, and humanity is fighting to survive with limited resources. So the resources, fuel, food, are what it's all about.
Yes.
And you play a ranger with special gifts in this world that give you kind of Jedi-like force powers. So you can throw your hand out and knock people back with like kind of a force push.
Yeah.
Leap high in the air, like 20 feet in the air, and hit the ground, you know, send a shockwave through it, knock people over. And then you also have heavy weapons. It's developed jointly by Avalanche Studios, who did a Mad Max game. So they're a good fit for it.
Yep. And the Mad Max game was good.
And then id Software, the creators of Doom, so they know weapon
shooters
play.
And yeah.
Yeah, so you put those together, it sounds like a perfect match.
It does.
For what an open world experience would be with gunplay like in Doom.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening here in Rage 2 is there's just not a lot of variety or a lot of things to do, and the story really falls flat. I know people are there for the gameplay, right, and exploring the world, but that you can't prop that up enough with a bad story, right? Like,
yeah.
If they have you sitting there for 3 minutes at a time listening to a character, it needs to be interesting, and it's not. These characters are very cartoony in how they... But the game is very violent, right? So you have this kind of clash of personalities, and it just doesn't work. It really just didn't gel.
Id has never written a meaningful character before. Even, you know, in Doom, you basically played a faceless soldier.
His name is Space Marine.
Space Marine, right. That tells you plenty, right? And for Avalanche, the Mad Max games didn't have a meaningful character. It was a great driving game, but that was kind of the end of it. These are two companies that don't have a history of making great narratives. And
so why did they go for it? That's my question. Like, why are you trying to have this big, meaningful, epic story?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wanted it all, right?
Sure.
They should have just focused in on...
Combat.
The combat in the world. The combat is great. So when you're playing it, it's fun, but you start seeing, like, it's very repetitive. Just wave after wave after wave of enemies.
Yeah.
The same kind of mini-bosses pop up. And, you know, after a couple hours, it really starts to overstay its welcome.
You know, you can find great shooters a lot of places now. This isn't like the old days. There are so many taught, excellent shooters. I think we really want to have a meaningful story to go with it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to do that, then I think you should go the other direction, like the Doom series has, and just said, you know, we're mostly not even just going to have a story. We're just going to give you great combat.
What are the great examples here? We have BioShock had an amazing story.
Amazing story.
Would you classify that as a shooter or?
Yeah.
I mean, you are running and gunning, but there's a lot more to it.
Yep.
Wolfenstein, the new ones.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
From Machine Games.
Yep.
That series has been fantastic. But
it has.
There's
and
not
it's
a
got
lot of them.
Yeah, and it's got a good... The Wolfenstein's actually got a really good story to it.
It's really
and
funny, it's, too.
Yeah, and dark in spots. That's a good series. So, with Rage 2, which, by the way, GI gave a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go a little lower.
Would you?
It's okay after a few hours, but when you keep going... And it continues to be the same thing. Yes, they try to change up the genomes and all that stuff and where you're going, but it just starts to feel like you're repeating the same steps over and over like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
And that's not a good feeling when you're playing a game like that.
The combat in Rage 2's got something called the overdrive mechanic, effectively like a berserker state.
Yeah, you hit L1 that? And R1 together and your guy screams like Rambo.
Okay.
And then you're just like... somehow firing a gun faster than it should be fired.
Yeah.
And healing as you go along. That's kind of fun. It's a limited time thing. But again, you know, you do that a few times and you're like, I get it.
Rage 2's got an open world. But Dan says in his review that your encounters are forgettable and monotonous and exploration is rarely rewarded because there's nothing in the world to find that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The characters are flat and forgettable, and at the end of the day, all you're left with is some good weapons that are upgradable, some good combat, and everything else about Rage 2. Eh.
Basically what id Software contributed. The gunplay.
The gunplay.
That's so that, good part. That should just make you more excited for Doom 2, which is coming later this year.
All right, so let me ask you this. What was the last hit for Bethesda? And not even necessarily commercial hit, but also critical hit. What was the Bethesda, you know, 10 years ago was beloved by almost everybody that played video games. What was the last true hit for them?
Critical darling, I'd say Prey 2. Like that game, like if you like the System Shocks and BioShocks, that game is really good.
It was. I played
just
it.
Nobody
it,
played it.
Oh, it was great.
We were
Prey
like,
2
the few.
Was so good.
And then before that, or maybe around the same time, I got my timing wrong, but Doom.
Doom.
The reboot of Doom from id was really, really good.
And that was...
2015, 14?
I was going to guess 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
A streak of stinkers.
Fallout 4, at the time, sold well, and I think it reviewed pretty well.
It's a good game, and it got better as time went on, too.
See, I don't agree. I thought Fallout 4 was fair, only fair.
Okay, here's the thing. Fallout 3, a masterpiece. Like,
absolutely.
Amazing.
Totally agree.
Fallout 4 is a grade below that, but it's still very good. But you're trying to hold it up to that, the one that came before it, right? Or even New Vegas.
Sure. New Vegas is better.
Yeah.
In almost every way. Especially from a story standpoint. Never, in Fallout 4, never really cared about that, and then hated the whole city building parts of Fallout 4.
Yeah, figuring out how to wire electricity to your dump.
For no reason. For no reason. There's a, you know, in Fallout 4, they push you to try to build rusted out buildings out of rusted out parts for literally no reason.
Yeah, I'm sleeping on the mattress I poop on.
Yeah.
Why do I need electricity in this room?
Correct. Thank you. We don't recommend Rage 2, but if you want to read more, you can do that at Game Informer.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
Not good.
A much higher grade given to Dreams. Now, Dreams has been strangely quiet. I mean, you know, this is the same developer that put out Little Big Planet, a series that was beloved and had tons of marketing push and a ton of buzz for everything they did. Even the Vita release of Tearaway had more buzz than Media Molecule's new game, Dreams. Yet, you guys reviewed Dreams and gave it a 9.5 out of 10. And if you hadn't done the review, I wouldn't even have known it was a thing. Tell people what Dreams is. It's a PS4 exclusive.
Yeah, so Dreams is a game that allows you to create whatever you want. And unlike Little Big Planet or, you know, any of the other creation games that came out, Minecraft, Roblox, stuff like that, they give you every tool to be able to make anything. Mm-hmm. So you can, if you're savvy enough in game development, make, using their tools, which are very streamlined and easy to figure out, make a first-person shooter. You could make a racing game, a space sim. I've seen like a full Star Wars game on there that looks amazing, like a Rogue Squadron-like successor.
You could make a game that looks like it's ready for retail, right? You could make what looks like a true indie-style, retail-ready game inside of Dreams on your PS4.
Yeah, and I've seen like Marvel Spider-Man from last year, someone recreated the beginning of that in Dreams.
No way.
It looks kind of like claymation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the graphics are kind of based in that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look super sharp, like the characters don't really look super realistic. But the animation, the way the camera flowed, the action, all that stuff was spot on because Dreams allows that. And for a while, we were just being blown away by the things people were submitting because these are just like, you know, groups of people getting together to do it. But then you realize, like, the real thing here isn't maybe necessarily the creators being able to do it, the artists and stuff like that, but that the software is that good.
Mm.
You know, the foundation for Dreams is excellent. So you don't necessarily have to be a creator. You know, it's not like getting garage tools or, you know, like a music program and you got to start making your own music. They upload, you upload everything you create. So you could just surf through people's creations. And there's a mode that just allows you to bounce from one dream to the next to see what people have made.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so all the assets, surf. So it's like surfing on a TV.
So if I take a bunch, if I make a character or I make something, you know, an object in Dreams.
We know what you'd make. Yes.
It would be uploaded automatically. So everybody else could then take that. They can change it or not or use it or whatever. So you're building a library of assets that's shareable amongst everybody. Is that right?
Hopefully your creation's banned within seconds.
Then I've done it correctly.
Yes, you can put it up there and people can surf through it, you know, do searches on it. Hopefully you tag it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can find it and they're like, yeah, I like that. I'll take that. And they can work on it. It will credit everybody that's been involved in the creation.
Oh, super cool.
So you have like video game credits of like,
yeah,
these 25 people's assets were used in your creation. So people
like
can see that, click on their names like, oh, man, that
guy makes
really
good
neat
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then see his whole collection. So it is, if you're interested in like creating or ever wanted to figure out what it's like to make a game, this is a really easy way to get into it. Yes, the tutorial is going to take you a long time to get through it, but it's fun. They do it in a way that leads you along with a story and cute little characters. It's family friendly. You know, most of the stuff, there'll be stuff that's M-rated, of course, but Most of it is kind of in the E for everyone range.
You can compose music
yep.
within Dreams.
Yeah, Garage Tools, it has a thing like that in there.
That's super cool. You can record your voice, put your voice in the game. So if you want, you know, characters who talk and make sounds or whatever, you can record and put voice in as well. So let me ask you this, because the immediate application for me, I was thinking, my daughter's going to join the robotics team in the fall. She's not really done anything like this.
Oh, it'd be perfect for her.
I was thinking this yeah. might be a good entryway.
Well, yeah, because there's AI, so she yeah. can learn how to program, at least get the basics of how things maybe work with Dreams.
You'll learn a lot of logic flow, right?
Yeah, it won't be like, you know, as deep as the, or open-ended as, mm-hmm. you know, the engines that game teams use to make games, but
yeah.
There will be an understanding kind of gained, you know, being able to pick up like, oh, this is how you link these things together, and maybe some of that stuff will carry over.
And oddly, Dreams is in early access, which on the console world, we see this all the time on PC. In the console world, this is weird that Dreams launched in, quote, early access.
I think Fortnite is still a beta, so oh, yeah, you got to keep that in mind. Dreams went through an alpha, a beta, mm-hmm. there was trial programs, and now it's like 95% of the games out there. What's missing right now is the single-player campaign that the developer Media Molecule made that has three stories that are woven together.
Okay.
So these are like the creators of the game using their tools to make the best content they can. That's not out yet.
Okay.
That but that's all coming. That's missing so far.
All right. So everything else will be there. Do we know when that comes out? Have they
we
dated
don't.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. So
but they'll just keep adding content too, you know, like new yeah. tools, new things you can interact with.
Awesome. When we come back, Joan, I think we need to take a break. I'm not used to doing this half hour. I know all my break times for our normal bit.
Yeah, we got one break in this half hour.
Then let's do it right now. Yep. When we come back, plenty of independent games, smaller games that are reviewed very well that you need to know about. A horror game and a comic book inspired game from the creators of BioShock and System Shock. What? I'm in. Sign me up. We'll tell you about that when we come back to Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan. The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian and Reiner with you. Early start today. We do go till 8 o'clock, and we are taking your phone calls. We've got two giveaways for a meaningful participation in this show. 1-800-320-5326, as always. Reiner, we promised to spend some time on some indie games.
Yeah.
You guys have given excellent reviews to two indie games that I did not know about until the reviews dropped in the past couple of weeks. Let's start with a game called Observation, which has a fascinating core concept behind it. Tell us about Observation.
Yeah, so it is a first-person survival horror game on a space station called The Observation.
Mm-hmm.
And you awaken on it, like in most of these games.
Yes.
Like aliens, you name it, but you're not a human. You awaken as the AI, which is Sam, Systems Administration Maintenance, something like that, right? Some dumb acronym yes. they put together. But you need to help an astronaut who's on this station try to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like keeping an eye on
the only astronaut, right?
The only one. That's like switching between rooms she goes in with the cameras, trying to figure out the pressure of, you know, oxygen and power. And you're trying to keep all these things online as she's trying to make her way to safety to try to get off of this ship. So that is kind of the setup of Observation, which is fascinating. You're more of a voyeur, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in watching someone rather than being the person. So it's kind of role reversal. You usually have like the evil AI,
right?
Or the helpful AI that's trying to help you, but
yes.
you're in that role now.
So you're the AI. You're trying to help a human stay alive on the ship where something's gone wrong. How do I help? I mean, I'm an AI. I can't open a door. I can't shoot a gun.
Can I? Yeah, you
okay.
can hit. You can.
Oh, I can. I can open a door. You're right.
Yeah,
I can't turn
can't
the
shoot.
I can't turn
I guess
the
you
door
can
now.
Shoot a turret if it's there. I don't know if they are, but
okay.
Yeah, you can help her move along as you're kind of, or you know, be like, point the camera in a certain way and show a monitor that she can interact with, stuff like that. But it's the writing is really strong in this.
Yeah.
So they make you care about this girl named Emma right out of the gates, and you want to see her to safety, and there's bad things going on this ship. As JV pointed out in our review, it's more of like a creeping fear than one that's going to, you know, devour you or, you know, have jump scares tied to it. It's more of the fear of what's coming next, what could happen to her if you're not on your game.
JV gave it a 9 out of 10. You can read the full review at Game Informer. But really, if you read the full review, literally not one word that's negative about this game, and it reads like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, and it's not super enthusiastic. You know, there's a certain degree of enthusiasm there, but yeah, it's not like, this is one of the best things I've ever played, but it is very much a, you need to play this. If you like the style of game, you need to play this.
If you like Alien Isolation, if you like System Shock, this is probably in your wheelhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also a puzzle-solving game. And
a lot of puzzles. You'll get in a drone, so you will fly around the environments a little bit.
Okay.
So you're not just a stationary camera.
Okay.
Or bouncing between cameras. So there is some of that tied to that, the puzzle solving.
Do I get the drone right off the bat? I'm under the impression
that's first, you sort of
power up and you gain more powers over time.
Yeah.
Start out as just cameras, right?
That's end game stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that does open it up more, you know, gives it more legs in terms of the gameplay dynamics that unfold in Observation.
When Observation is only 6 hours long, when you guys are doing your reviews, does, you know, 6 hours is short. I mean, you know, by any video game standard measure, 6 hours is short. Does that change?
That's one sitting for us.
Yeah, it is. I mean, right. That's literally one sitting for
us. That's
you guys.
What we said in the review.
Yes.
I mean, imagine people at a movie theater going to see, like, Avengers 5, and it's 6 hours.
Yeah.
There would need to be 3 intermissions in that.
Yes, there would. Do you guys change your scoring? I mean, can something be a 10 out of 10 as a 6-hour long game?
It could be a half hour, and if it was really moving and powerful, it could be a 10 out of 10.
Okay, all right.
Time does not matter.
All right. But then, let me ask this. If it's a $60 game for 6 hours...
Price doesn't matter either.
Price doesn't matter either. Because the price fluctuates, right? It's $60 today, and it could be $40 tomorrow, and it could be
$20
in 6 months.
Yep.
And okay, so you don't factor in any of those things. Observation is available on the PS4 and the PC.
The one thing I'll say, there are math problems in this. JV told me that, like, yeah, you're overcoming, you know, like, certain dangers. You got to do some math. And he said that, and I just vanished.
That was the end of that.
I was like, nope. So
I was told
there will be some math.
Okay.
Yep. One of the few games that actually pushes you to do
math.
Do I have to
break out the Pythagorean theorem?
I think it's probably just adding and subtracting a little bit, maybe a little division, but...
Okay, listen. If somebody in your office had to warn you off of the game because of addition and subtraction...
We're writers.
Jeez. Come on, man. Addition, subtraction.
The only number we know is the number 2 pencil. And that's it.
That is it. We've got another independent game I want to talk to you about called Void Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
I was immediately intrigued. It comes out tomorrow. I was immediately intrigued because the developer... was the director of BioShock and System Shock 2, a guy named John Che, and he's the lead programmer and designer of Void Bastards. It's a cel-shaded shooter with roguelike elements and a little bit of FTL thrown in there. Do you remember FTL, Reiner?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's got a little of that thrown in there as well. Explain graphically. I've never seen a game that has been so faithful to comic books, trying to recreate comic books in a video game more than this one. Tell people how Void Bastards looks.
So it is cel-shaded like Borderlands, right? Like everybody says that looks like a comic, but you subdue the number of colors that are used.
Mm-hmm.
So Borderlands, it was the full gamut, right? This one, there's more like pastels that are used at certain times. You could tell they're not doing, I don't know, however many thousands of color options they have.
Yeah.
So that gives it a very striking thing where every environment kind of feels unified because the same colors are being used.
Mm-hmm.
And it all pops. You know,
yeah,
like there's like a seafoam green that's on your gun and your character, which you usually don't see in any game, right?
Yeah.
So it has a very cool look. That translates to the comic connection, translates to the storytelling. So they do it in comic panels with voiceover.
Yeah.
And very clever, snappy writing. So it's pretty funny at times.
Mm. You know what I loved?
Yeah.
When an enemy's making noise, much like in a comic book, you would hear, you know, like if you stepped on a creaky floorboard, it would, the comic would say creak. It shows that on screen.
Onomatopoeia, right?
Onomatopoeia. Yeah. It's got onomatopoeia in the game where the you see the words for the sounds that are being made around you like you would if you're reading a comic.
Are we saying that word right, or are we
onomatopoeia?
Little...
No, that's right.
Okay, it sounds a little gross.
Not to me at all. Would you shoot an enemy and he explodes? You see blammo come yeah, across
and
the
then
screen.
Like a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
Or it dissolving into something.
I think that's super cool. In Void Bastards, you're on a ship of prisoners. Your ship goes adrift. Nobody cares. And now you're on your own, and you hope you bump into other ships, which you do. And then you need to go pillage the other ships to get stuff that you need to stay alive.
The whole hook should be convincing someone that they should care about you. That's what the game should be about.
Nobody cares.
Not getting power and weapons.
You're a bunch of prisoners, so nobody cares.
Get a friend.
You have prisoner friends. And if you die, if prisoner A dies... You just fire up prisoner B. You have to restart that ship again, but you have an unlimited supply of guys, prisoners, to throw at the problem. So it's like the Russians with Chernobyl, really.
Yeah, and you keep gaining weapons and abilities and stuff like that as the game goes on, but as the kind of level randomizes or whatever, you don't know what it's going to be. There could be like radiation poisoning you got to deal with, or you know, a certain enemy type that's there. You just don't know what's going
to
happen,
right? So we should mention a key part to this game, Void Bastards, and this is the roguelike part of it. Every ship is randomly generated, the enemies are randomly generated, and the unique challenges of every ship are random as well. One ship might be on fire, another ship might have radiation poisoning, another might have no power, so you can't, you know, there's no lighting. A ship with EMF interference disables your mini map, and your mini map doesn't work.
Yeah,
stuff like that. So every ship's got a unique and different challenge, and you can't know what you're going to get ahead of time.
Yeah, and you're getting parts, you're doing crafting, so there's some deep kind of RPG systems to it. You don't like crafting, that's right.
I don't like crafting.
That's a deal breaker for you.
Yeah, they call it light crafting in this game.
It's still crafting.
Let's hope it's only light crafting in this game.
But you're filling out like a star map, you know, as mm-hmm. you're going along, so you're making progress, even though it's a roguelike, you can kind of skip stuff.
Yeah.
And continue where you kind of perished.
All right, good. I'm glad.
But it sounds very cool. It looks neat.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm always wary of that roguelike aspect. Yeah, how crushing will it be?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's done fairly well in this, like Dead Cells, where mm-hmm. you are gaining stuff as you go along. It's not just about player skill and the randomization working in your favor. That's always a big bummer in games like this.
Yeah, they got to hit the randomization just right. It's one thing to do... Like, The Binding of Isaac, which does randomization really well, can be brutally hard, and sometimes it goes easy. But the game is so short and fast, and you die so often and everything, it kind of doesn't matter. You're just repeating your runs over and over again. Void Bastards is a 12 to 15 hour gameplay to get through your run. So they really need to hit this. They really need to hit the randomization just right.
Yeah.
Or I think you're going to end up running into a variety of problems, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's only on PC and Mac right now, or is it on...
Yeah, it is. Void Bastards is only on PC and Xbox.
Oh, it's on Xbox. Okay.
Yeah, PC and Xbox only right now. And I believe they are both tomorrow. It is part of the Xbox Game Pass. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, you're going to get it for free.
You could just start playing it right away.
You'll start playing it right away. It is right.
Or for $10 a month. I don't remember
whatever you'd pay for Game Pass, right? It's $30, which seems like a lot for a 12 to 15 hour game to me. But then again,
wait till you see the production values, though.
Yeah, like
it's impressive what they put together.
It's really, I think it's really done right. And so I recommend examining Void Bastards as well. So a couple of independent games. And there's one other indie that just came out today that I'm guessing you don't know about because it's pretty small, but it's my kind of game. Have you heard of Gollum Gates? I know.
No, is that like Lord of the Rings Gollum or like...
No, not that kind of Gollum. G-O-L-E-M. Play, guys. It's an action RTS, real-time strategy game, with a collectible card game mechanic built into it. So that if you imagine like League of Legends, right? But I can scroll on the map and drop cards out of my hand to augment my army. And even, you know, dramatically change my army at the drop of a card, suddenly flipping the odds of some battle in my direction. That's the concept behind Gollum Gates.
Sounds neat.
It does sound kind of neat, doesn't it?
Here's a better Gollum Gates.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings, Gollum, yeah. Andy Serkis, slalom skiing.
That's the gates?
Yeah.
What if it's Gollum, Andy Serkis style, mm-hmm. born into, he is the son of Bill Gates, and he's born into
like the
Microsoft family fortune.
And they have to have, his kid is just kind of like along for the ride. Nobody likes him being there. He's always like stealing their
rings.
He's
always stealing wedding precious, rings right. He's always yeah. stealing the rings. I think that would be a better Gollum Gates. Let's, you know what? If Dan Reichert were still working for Game Informer, he'd go write that book right now.
Yeah.
He would go write Gollum Gates.
And get sued.
And quite possibly. Tell people a little bit about another smaller release called Dauntless.
Yeah, so Dauntless is another striking-looking game. I guess the best comparison you can make in how it looks is Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of putting a gun in the character's hand or the pickaxe, picture a giant sword like that this character should not be able to lift. It's that big.
Yeah.
And then the whole kind of setup is it is like a new kind of take on Monster Hunter, where you are taking on these big, giant alien beasts. Really cool. Again, you know, the cell shading kind of animation, but just creatively designed. But you got to work on these beasts, like attack them for
attack,
20
attack,
minutes.
Attack. Is that fun?
Yes.
20 minute long yeah, when they, hacking on guy.
When there's a lot of dynamics in how the beasts attack and mm-hmm. when teamwork comes into play and you're all like coordinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. It's like a raid boss in like an MMO. Where you're all like in sync, you feel like you're all kind of NBA Jam on fire, you know, like everybody's doing everything they need to correctly.
Yeah.
And then the thing falls and you reap the rewards from it. Right?
So the you and your friends dropped. Go attack a monster, you kill a monster, you get the loot drop. And then what do you do with the loot? Like every game.
Craft.
You go craft.
But it's free. It's free to play.
Yeah, it is free.
Here's the problem.
Dauntless is.
They haven't had a lot of servers.
Okay.
So there's been like 4 million people playing.
Yeah.
And some people have experienced wait times of being in the queue where you're waiting to get into a lobby of like up to 2 hours.
Oh, geez.
So hopefully they bring more servers online.
Well, I'm sure
obviously,
they will.
People are going to fall off as time goes on. But if you download it, there might be a chance you won't be able to play it right away. I've had both scenarios happen where I booted it up. It said you are one of 40,000 in line. And I was like, oh, man. And then it ticked down to 39. And I was like, turned it off, came back 2 hours later, and I was immediately in the game.
Okay. That was on your Xbox.
Xbox, yep.
Right. It's available. Dauntless is available for PC, Xbox, and PS4.
And now, crossplay, I believe, on
it had. That was going to mention it. It has PS4 crossplay. How about that?
Yeah.
You can actually play with somebody who has a different system than you do if you've got a PS4. Isn't that handy? It's about damn time. Do you think the PS5 will launch with crossplay?
It has to,
right? They can't go backwards on this, can they?
Once the Pandora's box is open, you
can't go back.
Put it back.
All right, good. They shouldn't. Dauntless will have new content in the form of seasons, like Fortnite has its seasons.
That's a plan season right now. Five.
Yeah, it's already up, right? And this is just from when it was like early access PC only stuff. It's the newer part is the Xbox and PS4 launch was just in the last week, I believe.
Yeah, and it's not just blades. You do have some guns called repeaters. There are chain blades, axes. So you're not just swinging heavy stuff. There's lighter stuff, too.
All right. Is there any form of a story?
Yes. Yeah, there's a big story right out of the gates. Not the most polish or production values in the storytelling. They do have spoken dialogue and animation to go along with it, lip syncing, stuff like that. But
yeah,
there's a moment where your character falls off the ship at the beginning, and it's pretty crudely done.
Yeah.
But it does set the tone in a nice way for the quest at hand, and eventually you run into a city and, you know, meet other characters there. Yeah, so there's a connection to the world. It's not just hunting.
Right. Are you familiar with a show called Game of Thrones?
Hmm.
Have you heard of that?
I've read a book a long time
ago. You did read a book about
it?
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to have the final book or books written?
Yes.
Do you know who doesn't?
Who?
George R. R. Martin.
Why?
Because he's busy consulting on a Japanese video game.
He is also making like four different shows.
And he's working on the prequels and the sequels. You owe us books, right? Why is he working with a... We don't know which Jap... I don't know. Maybe you know. Maybe you're inside enough that you know which Japanese...
There's a rumor it's From Software.
From Software.
The Dark Souls studio.
Yes. You're not confirming, you're just mentioning
the
rumor.
That's the rumor that's out there.
From Software, they've done Dark Souls and you know, the others in that vein. And those are good games. This is apparently an open world game. That George R.R. Martin's going to go write an open world game, video game?
Consult
on? Why? Why is he doing this and spending his cycles on this?
Yeah, now that the show's out there, everybody could be like, okay, that's fan fiction, what HBO did.
Yeah, right.
And then he can be like, what didn't you like?
Uh-huh. I'll go fix all that.
Different.
Yeah, that's right. Which is what he should do, by the way. No way Brand should be on the throne. If it's From Software, is this something that even moves the needle for you? Do you care?
Oh, yeah. If they did a Game of Thrones prequel or even a sequel.
What makes you say it's Game of Thrones related? Other than the fact that he's working
You don't just bring him in to...
Why not?
Just be a name on a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne, right? I guess you could. You could.
But you could.
But, I mean, you immediately think it'll be his property. Martin's Game of Thrones, you think would be... From Software doing that would be amazing.
I don't know. That's
going into the north,
maybe.
It could be fun.
When we come back, E3 is looming. We'll talk about some of our predictions from E3, what we expect to hear from Microsoft, Nintendo. We won't hear directly from Sony because they're not going to show up. And all what we think are the biggest storylines coming out of E3.
Not so fast about Sony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. We'll hear what you have to say about Sony at E3 when we come back.
You're listening to Dan.
Welcome back. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Ciarchi and Reiner with me as well. We've already talked about a bunch of stuff. Dreams for the PS4, Void Bastards, Rage 2, Observation. It's been a very review-heavy, dauntless, review-heavy show to this point. A
lot of stuff to play.
A lot of stuff to play right now, which you don't always get this time of year, which is great. Speaking of this time of year... It's E3 season.
Here we go.
Here we go. 2 weeks, you'll be there. My brother Sam will fill in for you here.
Yeah, E3 is video games' big trade show. It's where they, kind of like old school World Fair, where they show off all the new technology and games that are in the works. Unlike movies where Tom Cruise signs up for a movie and they immediately announce it, video games hold stuff very close to the chest. They don't reveal a lot of secrets. So it's fun to go and watch these press conferences and see what developers are showing, because... It's basically a roadmap for the end of the year and then into the future. The next couple of years, you might get a glimpse of stuff that's coming for the first time.
One of the great changes to E3 over the past few years is the games that are announced are generally no longer 3 years away, 4 years away.
Yeah.
A lot of times, we're announcing it, and, oh, by the way, it's coming in October, which is great.
Yeah, there would be times where they would show a vertical slice of a game where if, like, the guy who's playing it turned to the left, the game would crash. You know, that's how unstable they were at times. But now you're deep into the development, seeing the game, at least a slice of it that is very polished.
Yeah.
Think about this. Mortal Kombat was announced at the Game Awards in December, and that launched in April.
Wow.
That's a big AAA game that had a very short marketing campaign.
Bethesda did it first, I think, with Fallout 4.
Yeah,
where they went from it was an unannounced game to launching in 3 months.
Yep.
And the brilliance of it was it created huge buzz at E3, and the buzz carried over all the way to launch. Whereas normally, if your game is 18 months away, you get a bunch of buzz at E3, and then it all dies over the course of 18 months.
And then you had something like Apex Legends this year, which... wasn't even announced.
Unannounced and launched.
The second it was announced, it was released, and their marketing was through influencers, people
who... YouTube players.
...play games on YouTube and Twitch.
Yeah.
And they got the word of mouth out there, and it took off. It was bigger than Fortnite for the first month.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is an E3 without Sony attending in a meaningful way. They're not going to do their big presser that they've always done in the past. What's in it for PlayStation fans at E3 this year?
Yeah, so Sony said they're not going to have a booth at E3, and they're not going to do a press conference like they have since E3 began in 1995, I believe.
Wow.
So everybody's like, okay, they're not going to E3, they're out. And this has been happening. EA backed out of E3, but they do something the days before E3. They do EA Play.
Yeah.
But Sony hasn't announced anything. They've gone quiet on all their operations.
Yeah.
So people are like, are they gearing up for PS5? Are they just kind of waiting for this gen to end? But now there's a tease that came from Hideo Kojima about Death Stranding this weekend, where there's going to be something tomorrow that we're going to see on that. So that's one of their big games they have in development.
Mm-hmm.
They have Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us 2. What's the Horizon team working on?
That's what I want to know. Give me another Horizon Zero Dawn.
Is it too early to announce a new Spider-Man? We just don't know. But
yes,
they have a Death Stranding something happening tomorrow.
Okay.
Again, just a couple weeks before E3. Is this the beginning of Sony kind of participating in the E3 festivities without actually being there?
Well, they've said
just
that
doing stuff online.
They have said that Sony has said that Death Stranding, The Last of Us 2, and Ghosts of Tsushima will not be playable at E3.
Correct.
So,
but there could be tomorrow. We might see, like, who knows what? It could be a short trailer, or it could be like an hour of footage. Then are they in the conversation for E3 or this time of year? Like, do we just got to remove E3 from the equation because we have so many teams that are separated from it that are still participating in this time?
Don't you think don't you think Sony is mostly just saving their ammo for next year knowing that will be their big PS5 launch E3 leading into next holiday when it will be for sale?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. I don't know why they wouldn't go out with a bang on PS4. It seems like they're just turning into a ghost and hiding in the shadows, waiting for the next best thing to come.
Because they don't have anything to tell. They don't have a story to tell.
They do.
They got three.
Kojima's next big game.
That's one game. You know, I don't think Sony has to show up for one game.
A game that was a 10 out of 10.
They don't even have dates on these games. They're not playable yet. Sony has nothing to say.
Do you think they moved to PS5?
Not here. Not at this E3. If that's what you're asking.
No, but I mean, is that why they're maybe holding back? They're just going to put
those games
on?
Those games are too deep in development on PS4.
They're all going to be cross-gen.
Yeah, well, PS5 is backwards compatible.
Exactly.
So anything that comes out now, we'll play on both.
Yep, and it'll probably look better on PS5, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, whatever. There's nothing for Sony to say. They have nothing to tell us about the PS5 anymore because they've already released the baseline specs and stuff. There's no games to talk about because most of the big games that are coming are not playable. They're undated. They're still off in the future. Sony had nothing to say. Why spend the money?
What if tomorrow they said, hey, Death Stranding's coming in November? And then the day after is, hey, Last of Us is coming in October.
That's just one game. I don't know, or two games. I don't have any reason to think that's going to happen.
But they're still going to release a lot of indie stuff under their label. VR. That's going to continue on. They can't just abandon this stuff. But to answer your question, go way back, what is Sony going to have at E3? They still have third party, though.
Yeah.
And they have strong support there. And they will still have exclusives on the show floor because devs sometimes just make games for Sony. You know, the Personas and Yakuzas, stuff like that, you only get on that system, which is a nice third party get for them.
Yeah. I want to interrupt our E3 talk because David has been nice enough to call in from Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to chat about?
I got a 30-second review for you, fellas, about Frostpunk.
Oh, fantastic. Now, Frostpunk, for people that may remember, that game's probably 9 months old, right, David? Something like that?
13 months.
13 months. All right, thank you. A little over a year old. And Frostpunk was really unique in that it was a city, Sim Cities type builder, but set in a brutally cold environment in which you had to make a lot of really, really difficult choices, right? Is that the setup on Frostpunk?
Absolutely, sir.
All right, but you've got a full 30 second review if that is not an oxymoron. Am I correct about that, David?
Correct.
Excellent. Joe, you know how to do this, right? David, go ahead and start when you're ready.
11-Bit Studios' Frostpunk is a survival game worth playing a year later for a cheaper price from launch for PC only. The game's premise is you're the leader of the last city on Earth in a steampunk world tasked with keeping people alive from the cold, a Minnesotan's everyday life. You manage your people's discontent and hope levels, heat, and numerous resources. The unique aspect is the ability to pass laws affecting the overall society, and you get the choice of creating a new faith or a disciplinarian state to manage your people. The problem is the game does not have a tutorial explaining basic mechanics, causing some minor frustrations in critical moments. Another issue is the need to upgrade buildings, but requires the old ones to be torn down first. Overall, fun, challenging game, 8.5 out of 10.
Well done, other than running over by 10 seconds. But
our clock could have been fast.
Yeah, maybe Joe was just off on the clock. We'll blame Joe. Maybe that was it. Excellent. We have not had a 30-second review in a long time.
Yeah,
I'm delighted to get another one. Now, the problem is David's in Oklahoma, and our giveaways are pickup-style giveaways. You got to come in here. So, Reiner, how would you feel about giving David a digital subscription to GI?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do that. David, thank you for the call-in on that. And Frostpunk, I keep seeing it on sale on Steam, right?
Yeah, or we could do physical subscription, too.
Or that, too. Fantastic. Thank you, David. I love the participation.
Thank you.
I'll put you on hold, and we'll get... What do you need from David?
Email address? Email address, and we could talk, and then...
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll get it taken
care
of.
Set him up with something for that. Back to E3 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered Sony. Let's talk Microsoft. Do you believe Microsoft, which is already now behind Sony in announcing their next hardware, next generation hardware, do you believe Microsoft will announce something, anything, or everything about the next Xbox at E3?
I think they have to go all in on it, because they announced it last year in kind of a weird way, right? They talked about what's coming next and streaming and having two consoles. Like was out there.
Yeah.
So they need to follow up on that. And you can't just do that cryptically again, right? Mm-hmm. Then it's like, well, what are you guys doing over there? I think they're going to start showing some stuff. It might not be games that are running on it, but maybe it's plans for what these machines will deliver. Maybe not even the names yet.
If you're Microsoft, you can kind of own this E3 because Sony's not there. Yep. You know, you can fill that void with your story to tell on the next Xbox.
Yeah, because Nintendo's already said they're not announcing new hardware for Switch.
Right. Yes.
So you're potentially Stadia will be there, Google Stadia, the streaming device, but you are the only new hardware that is there with, you know, like next gen ramifications.
Absolutely. So I think it would be tactically, I could be a very smart move for Microsoft to do as much of an announcement as they can possibly do on the next Xbox.
I would love to see them like announce it with Fable and the new Halo.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be amazing.
The new Halo, though, is going to come out on Xbox One.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Deep in development, right? And
it was barely underway last E3 when it was announced.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if at that point they switched or they're making it for both. The transition between generations is going to be less than it was before.
I agree.
It's not going to be a hard cutoff.
Well, and the backwards compatibility is going to make it different as well.
It could all be in Game Pass, and maybe there's a Blade that's, you know, whatever Xbox Next is, and then Xbox One.
The next Halo is Halo Infinite, the sixth major installment of the Halo universe, and critically important to the Xbox, which has got just plain not enough exclusives, and they've just bungled that whole part of their business operation by not having exclusive titles.
It's too bad they didn't have other stuff, because I think the break for Halo was needed.
Yeah.
You know, taking some time, figure out a new vision for it is exactly what they needed to do. But at the same time, you know, it's like the state of what were some of those games that they had, Crackdowns, Gears of Wars, they just weren't cutting it. You know, like it wasn't enough. Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves,
it was finally starting to get where people wanted it to be at launch last year.
Right. There are some Xbox exclusives that could show up at this show. Gears 5.
Yep,
Battletoads.
Well, they announced 3 Gears games last year.
I know. Talk about diluting your brand.
Yeah, seriously.
Gears 5, Battletoads, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. You love the other Ori game.
I'm so excited for that one.
Sea of Solitude. Do you know anything about Sea of Solitude?
Yeah, it's kind of an indie-style adventure game. Yeah, it looks neat.
Okay. Session and Tunic. Do you know anything about Tunic?
Nah. Yeah, a little bit, but...
All right.
I mean... They all kind of fall in the smaller category. It's not your big
AAA tentpole,
like a Fable.
Right. And there are rumors that they're going to dust off Fable, too.
Well, it's in dev. We know that.
Is it okay?
The Forza Horizon studio, I believe.
Really?
A new team's, yeah.
Really?
I believe that's, I don't even think that's a rumor. I think that is like
that's
legit.
Fact.
Like,
okay.
They're going to start on this franchise.
You know, the Fable series was sometimes pretty brilliant, and... I played, the first 3 to completion, and then I think I pretty much gave up on it after that. But one of the great stories, I think, was Fable 3, where they said, okay, you've solved whatever, you've slayed the dragon and married the princess, and now what? Now you're the king.
Yeah, and you
now
sit on the throne,
deal with that.
And you deal with people's problems.
Yeah, it was kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Peter Molyneux, where's he these days?
He was working on some indie stuff. I don't know. I haven't heard his name in a long time.
He was one of the five biggest names in video game development, you know, a decade ago.
Yeah.
I can't tell you anything he's done in 5 years. I have no idea what he's doing. So, yeah.
Remember that iOS game where you clicked on the cube to peel away?
Yeah. That he was worked him. On that.
That's the last big thing I think he was associated with.
Yep, I think so. Byron Buxton just went hard into the wall on a warning track shot, and he's shaken up. We'll keep our eyes on that. Nope, now he's up.
He's just looking for his glove.
I think he's got so much chew in his mouth. I think the problem might have been that he swallowed his chew.
He's choking on it.
It might be, which you don't want to do. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what we expect from Nintendo at E3 and how Cyberpunk 2077 is going to dominate everything at E3 when we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan. The Fan.
Welcome back to Video Games Weekly. Final segment. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you as well. We've run through a bunch of different reviews of games so far, and we're knee-deep in our E3 preview. Reiner? We've done Microsoft.
Yes.
We talked about Sony and what won't be there at E3. We've given Microsoft the blueprint for success, which is go announce your next hardware. Go dominate this E3. Be the single biggest story of an entire E3. Sony's letting you have it, and your lagging console needs all the help it can get. And the specs on the PS5 are jaw-dropping.
Yep.
Go give me a story to tell, Microsoft, that makes me think there's a reason to go buy your console. Let's talk Nintendo. They have skipped six straight E3s. Six. And they will be doing their Nintendo Direct.
Nintendo's always there.
Well, they haven't done
they haven't done
a press conference, I guess.
Oh, right. Yeah, they do a Nintendo Direct.
They do Nintendo Directs. Here's what we know will be there. Super Mario Maker 2.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people a little bit about that one.
We just talked about Dreams being a game that allows you to make whatever game you want.
Yeah.
Right? It's like software, dev software.
Right.
That's done in a fun way. Mario Maker's the same way, but you're making one game. You're making Mario games.
Yeah.
Side-scrolling Mario games with different art aesthetics going back from the original 8-bit all the way up to the current ones that were, I guess, even on Switch, the mm-hmm. 3D models and stuff like that. And what people are able to do in these levels, making them brutally difficult or just really fun and clever, is really neat to see. And you could share your creations. And Mario Maker 2 is just, you know, I hate saying this about games, but it's more of the same.
More of that, yeah.
But with just kind of different additions, different moves for Mario that kind of hark back to different games in his history.
Nintendo says, as you mentioned earlier, there's not going to be any new hardware modifications for the Switch announced here, which is too bad. I'm ready. As much as I like my Switch, I put a lot of time into my Switch. By the way, a side note, SteamWorld Quest, which I've been playing, it's pretty bad. Unfortunately, I was really excited for it.
I like Dig a lot.
I like Dig and Dig 2 a lot, and I like SteamWorld Heist a lot. SteamWorld Quest on the Switch, don't buy it. It's boring. I want a new hardware. I am ready for a thinner, lighter Switch. I might even be willing to give up some screen size for that. I mean, I don't want to squint at it. But I'd like the whole thing to be, for me, my taste, a little thinner, a little lighter.
I'm really surprised they don't have any hardware. Maybe they'll save that for an announcement in Japan later.
Maybe.
But I expect plenty of surprises from Nintendo. Because when you look at their lineup, what do they have? Mario Maker, Animal Crossing, which we're all excited about.
Yeah.
Pokemon, which will probably be the biggest game of the year if it launches this year.
New Pokemon on Switch will crush.
Will be the biggest thing. You get people buying two of them because they do the two different versions.
Yeah.
And I think it's, what is it called? Sword and Shield this time?
Yes.
But it'll be the first one that is a legit console game
mm-hmm.
that, thanks to Switch, you can also play on the go.
Yeah.
So that should be there. Actually, in 23 minutes, there's a Pokemon press conference going on in Japan where they're going to announce something.
Okay.
And I think next week there's a Pokemon Direct. That is just a Pokemon-specific video that Nintendo puts together.
Bethesda has said they're not going to be showing anything about Elder Scrolls 6 because they're too busy with the abomination that is Elder Scrolls Blades. And nothing on the game that's coming before Elder Scrolls 6, Starfield.
I'm so excited for that. A new IP from Bethesda.
Okay.
Single player is what we're believing, RPG. I'm all about it.
It better be. It better be. If they're going to give us another Fallout 76 set in space, oh, man.
When they announced Fallout 76 and said it was multiplayer only, no NPCs, stuff like that, they announced the next Elder Scrolls and Starfield as kind of a, hey, don't worry, we still have you covered.
Yeah.
Because they knew there would be backlash on that announcement.
Absolutely. Rightly so. As I've liked to, as I said about Fallout 76 at the time, and I'll contend with that today, it's the game nobody wanted, executed poorly. Elder Scrolls Blades, currently languishing, unplayed on my phone. The game nobody asked for, executed poorly. And all this to push off Elder Scrolls 6 so far, it will miss, there will not be any Elder Scrolls game, not only for an entire generation, the whole PS4, Xbox One generation, all missed. It's still years and years off. It may be 4 or 5 years before we get to Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah,
it might miss the next generation of hardware.
I know these games in general are just getting bigger and better visually, content-wise. A lot of decisions we don't like, microtransactions, stuff like that. But the one thing that I think we've gone the wrong way on for video games as a whole is just the number of games we get in a series now. Like, think about Rockstar Games on PS2. Bully, 2 Grand Theft Autos, or 3 Grand Theft Autos.
Yeah.
All sorts of Manhunt.
Manhunt.
Ugh. All these side games. And what do we get this gen? Red Dead.
One
of them.
We got one game. Yeah, one.
And now it's like Elder Scrolls. We got
zero.
Two on 360. What do we get this gen? Nothing.
Yeah, very frustrating. Do you think we get a sequel for Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yes.
I had somebody on Twitter ask me yesterday.
You have to.
Hey, you know, I've heard you talking about Horizon Zero Dawn so many times, I just bought it. You know, what am I going to like this? So I retweeted it and just asked people, you know, what did you think of it? Ah, just a torrent of love for Horizon Zero Dawn. To me, it still remains, if you're going to buy 3 games for the PS4, Horizon Zero Dawn, to me, is one of the 3. I think it's one of the 3 best games in this entire generation, and right now, and it's dirt cheap because it's 2 years old. I would love to hear about a sequel.
Yeah, that's Guerrilla Games, and they have to make that before they make another Killzone, right? People would be very disappointed if they went back to Killzone.
Heck yeah.
People want more of that universe, the robotic dinosaurs.
Oh, it's great.
Absolutely. Good luck with the naming conventions, but I guess One Dawn? I don't know what you
Horizon,
call it.
Yeah, Horizon.
One Dusk?
Yeah, maybe. Zero Dusk. But the big story of E3... The story, unless Microsoft does the big announcement, unless Microsoft makes the big hardware announcement, the big story is going to be Cyberpunk 2077.
I think that's going to be story number 2. Story number 1 ties in with the biggest movie of the summer, Avengers Endgame.
All right.
I hope Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics's Avengers project shows up for the first time at E3.
Okay.
So you take the biggest license, the biggest...
Movie license
out there right now. Yep. Bigger than Star Wars, it can be argued, right?
Yeah. I think it is bigger than Star Wars right
I don't
now.
Think it's going to break it in the box office, in the domestic box office, but people were more excited about that, or there's more people talking about that franchise in a positive way than Star Wars lately. But that's going to be at E3, and just think about that. If you get to play as all those characters in a big AAA game... What could that be? So I'm hoping that's
Cyberpunk
there.
Would kill it anyway. There's so much anticipation and love
Cyberpunk
for this game.
Cyberpunk already had its coming out party.
A little bit, but this is going to be the
a
big
bit.
A
we
big
saw
unveiling.
An hour of it.
An hour of gameplay. This is going to be far bigger, I believe. I think Project Red, CD Projekt Red can own this E3 by doing hands-on deep dive Cyberpunk 2077 for people.
I don't think they do hands-on.
They said in March, CD Projekt Red said, not only will they be at E3, that this is the most important E3 in company history. They're going to be hosting a panel at the E3 event at the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
This, they're going to own this thing. There's not, you know, there isn't a God of War. There isn't a Grand Theft Auto. There's not that many big releases for this E3.
There could
this
be
late into the cycle.
Captain America, Iron
Man, matter.
Hulk.
Won't matter.
It's Black be Widow.
Huge. At a minimum, we're going to get a new trailer out of this, but I think we're going to get much more. I think we're going to get extended gameplay.
I bet we get another
from
hour.
The Cyberpunk 2077 universe. I bet it may even be playable for journalists or
maybe
in some
way. A release date.
And a release date. All of that would be absolutely huge. If they have a 2019 release date of Cyberpunk 2077.
Look out.
Oh man. I'll start the countdown on the days. Speaking of if there were three games to buy on the PS4, mm-hmm. Witcher 3, it's still one of the three games I would say go get.
Yeah, so good.
It's so good. side note, by the way, speaking of Witcher, we could get more information about their long-term planning on the Witcher series. They've alluded to it before, and they've said, you know, there's something that they're going to do with it. We don't know what. But
I think they're going to go quiet on it just because there's the Netflix show that's coming.
Yeah, there is a Netflix Witcher show.
A live action Witcher show. So
now,
I don't know if you want to conflict with that in terms of just mind share of people into the franchise.
Yeah, maybe
let that live on its own.
Have you read the books? My understanding is the Witcher books are really good. Have you read
Yeah, everybody thinks it's CD Projekt's IP, but
yeah, it's not.
Cyberpunk and Witcher are licensed games like Avengers.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy.
And not only that, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the author of the Witcher books is suing CD Projekt Red, I think because he didn't realize how popular the game was going to be and how much money he was leaving on the table when he signed that deal.
How much?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That thing has made a ton of money for them.
Yeah, he wants his cut.
Speaking of video games turned to TV, Sony's video production team has launched a whole new initiative all designed around bringing its video game IPs to movies and television, which is very exciting.
That's never gone wrong.
It's almost entirely gone wrong to this point. But Sony can do it, right? I mean, Sony can do it. This is a company that has an entire motion picture division, an entire television division. If there's a company that can do it, it's them.
We're on a roll. Detective Pikachu, I went and saw that. It's really good.
Is it?
It's fun. It's a good adaptation of a game property. The best that's been done since maybe the first Mortal Kombat, which technically is a bad movie, but I liked it just because it was kind of cheesy.
All right.
But we'll see. We got the, like we just talked about, the Witcher Netflix show. Mm-hmm. And then Sony could do Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
God of War.
Isn't Last of Us the most obvious Sony IP for them to turn into
Uncharted
a TV show?
Is already in the works with a different studio.
Yeah, so it's not going to be Uncharted, right?
Yeah, because so, I believe whoever plays Spider-Man is going to be Nathan Drake.
So here we are with another zombie show, Walking Dead. The TV version is winding down right now. Maybe this is going to be. Maybe they're going to fire up the Last of Us as a show.
Yeah, or is there zombie fatigue a little bit?
I've got massive zombie fatigue. Don't care about zombie. I don't need to see another zombie in any video game.
Horizon Zero Dawn would be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
Because it does have that same kind of survival vibe as Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Why not?
Wouldn't that be great? And they've got all the, you know, the CGI that they need to animate dinosaurs and everything.
It'd be a little more expensive.
It'd be
a couple hundred million.
It probably would. So Last of Us and God of War would be, don't you think God of War would be the other one?
Yeah, or, you know, they could even do something weird like Gran Turismo that's like Fast and the Furious, right? Like mm-hmm. some kind of racing thing. They have a lot of great properties over there.
Sony has said there will not be a new VR at the launch of the PS5. Now, we've seen VR technology take a huge jump. And why don't we spend a second as a quick side conversation to the Oculus Quest, which launched last week.
Yeah,
and
it's
super, very, very exciting. It really is it's virtual reality 2.0. Reiner, you did a review mm-hmm. of the Oculus Quest for Game Informer. You've spent plenty of time with it. Tell people a little bit what makes the Oculus Quest second generation virtual reality.
Well, the big one is there's no cable on it. So that's wire-free VR, which means if you've ever used a VR headset before, it takes forever to get these things set up. If you're doing the sensors in the room, just optimizing it, just making sure everything's moving the right way. The Oculus Quest, you take it out of the box, you turn it, you put it on your head, it turns on automatically, and then you you see the controllers in front of you, and it just, you pick them up and ask you, is this where the ground is? It puts a wireframe on the ground. You say yes, and then you just draw your play space, but you know, you're not intersecting with a wall or, you know, lamps or anything like that, and then you're immediately ready to play or go to the store and start downloading stuff. That's a huge game changer, and you can do it anywhere. We've talked about this on the show before, but you could be outside. You just don't want to expose the lens to the sun because it'll fry them. But you could be outside playing this thing if you're careful and have the biggest play space, unless you live in a mansion, you know, a big 30-foot grid that you could walk around in and look like an idiot in your backyard playing, or in a park playing who knows what.
The part that you didn't mention that's big is you don't need a PC.
Oh, yeah. It's
no
all
gaming
built in.
PC. Yeah. It's all built into the headset.
So
all the games run on the hardware in the headset. So
yeah, you don't need a computer. You don't need a console.
PC, yes.
But the downside to that is, unlike PC, which they keep updating and adding new hardware, and you know, people that build their own rigs, or they keep upgrading them. This is locked in. It's like a console where you cannot upgrade the hardware.
Yeah.
So hopefully it has a long lifespan. But I've always been wary of VR, just given the time commitment and getting it ready. But
see,
this
doesn't
is
even
so
phase
fast.
Me. To me, it's, you one, already it's have one time it pain. It's one time pain. I spend one evening or
it's not,
you know,
though,
to an hour or two getting it set up. That's it.
You put it in your closet. You, especially on PS4, there are so many cables and accessories.
Now, the cabling thing is legitimate.
Yeah, so that takes
it's a
time.
I don't care about the time. I just don't like the cabled experience, because you're breaking me out of the reality
when
I'm tripping over the cable.
Yeah. But even just setting it up, that's a nuisance for me. But this year, like, my daughter's playing Roblox on the TV. I put on the headset, drew a grid, and I'm playing a game called Bait, a fishing game, right next to her, which is just fantastic. It's great.
Yeah.
It really
Oculus
is. It is
terrific.
Absolute game changer for VR. If you've been spectacle, or if you've been kind of wary of getting them in the past, I think you should give it a shot, because it really is.
You don't need the $1,000 computer anymore. You don't need to have a wired system. You don't need the base stations to view it. It's, you know, there's just, it eliminated so many hurdles. And the cost of the Oculus Quest is shockingly low at $399.
Yeah, or that's for 64 gigabits of storage, which is all you really need,
you
in my opinion.
More than that.
But if you want a little more bang, you can get 128 for $499.
Correct. You don't need it, because even if you delete games off of your Oculus Quest, you can just own them. You can just re-download it later if you ever want to play that game again.
Nothing's been like you find on console right now of like 100 gigs. It's or 60 gigs. It's all, you know, the most.
Right. We're not having Red Dead on VR yet. Someday, maybe.
I think Star Wars, which is the most graphically impressive, was like 2 gigs.
Are you talking about the forthcoming Star Wars lightsaber bit?
Lightsaber bit.
Yeah, there's a forthcoming VR game. It's VR exclusive.
Vader,
Star Wars Vader
Immortal.
Vader Unleashed or something.
That's out there.
It's already out?
Yeah, you could play it.
What? I didn't know that.
Yes.
How is it?
It's neat. It's fun. It's more of like a Disneyland ride, because you're a silent protagonist. So you're a part of this big story, but they're talking to you, but you
don't respond.
You're a meaningful character in this universe. I don't want to give it away, but your character doesn't respond. And you can't even do... If you were just a silent character, you can't do arm motions either to interact. But you do get FaceTime with Vader, who is this very imposing and giant Sith Lord.
Yes.
You see him on the big screen. He's scary there, but just imagine he's
front of your face. Yeah, it's all different in VR.
But it's funny, because at first you're like what we call presence, where you do feel like someone's actually crowding your space. That lasts for about a second, and then you're just like messing around with his visor and trying to hit the buttons on his chest.
Because you're a jackass.
Yeah,
that's why.
But you do get to get your own lightsaber. You know, you press a button, you see it in your own hand, you're moving it around. It's one-to-one with your movements. You hold it up to your face, and it kind of blinds you how bright it is.
Cool.
It's very cool.
Speaking of sabers, Beat Saber is out of early access and is now in full release Beat Saber. Arguably the best game ever made for VR.
And Quest has its own library that's distinct from Oculus Rift, but it already has 50-plus games and apps that you can download.
I bet. And they'll all work. which is great. I mean, no compatibility issues or anything else. If it's in the Oculus Quest store, it's going to work on the Oculus Quest, obviously.
Yes.
So no issues there. What started all this conversation is Sony says there won't be a new VR headset at the launch of the PS5. That doesn't surprise me. They got to put all their energy and effort and resources into launching the PS5, much like they did with the PS4. What did we have to wait for the VR? Was it maybe 18 months or 2 years into the,
it was
PS4's life
span? Yeah, it was right around the Pro coming online, right? Like a year before, maybe?
Yeah, about that time. I bet it's this way, too. Based on this, it's got to be cordless.
Yeah, and I think we'll get another one. They said it's not coming, but it's been a success for Sony.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, that's the number one VR headset out there in terms of install.
Yeah, units sold. Yeah. It's the Sony one. Is it possible? Do you know if it's possible? Could we harness the power of the PS5 and have it wirelessly deliver to my headset? Maybe it's through my Wi-Fi. All of my graphics so that they don't have to build any of the processing wirelessly into the headset. And they just wirelessly get all my video from the PS5.
That'd be cool.
Through my Wi-Fi.
Think so, yeah.
Why not? I mean,
it's all about latency and...
Sure, but I only have my own internal Wi-Fi latency, right?
I guess it is like bouncing. You can bounce GameCast stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
That would be great. I want it to look like PS5. I want PS5 quality graphics on my headset.
The cost way down.
Way down.
Although they could put that cost in just a better screen. Having like a super sharp screen.
Yeah,
that's still the problem with all VR headsets, by the way, is the pixelization in text and stuff like that.
That is an issue for some of them. Reiner, great job tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you. 90 minutes of video game nerdery.
That was great.
That was the best. Joe, thank you for your help as well. Appreciate it tonight. If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast. KFAN.com. Also available on iTunes. You can go to Video Games Weekly, rate and review the show, which helps other people around the country find it as well. We'll be back next week for more video game goodness and a lot more E3 speculation. Talk to you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
Listen back to tonight's Video Games Weekly or to hear previous shows, visit Fan On Demand at KFAN.com.